Welcome to the Everything Action Cast, the official podcast of everythingaction.com. Hello and welcome to the Everything Action Cast, the podcast for the week of July 4th, 2022. I'm your host, Zach. Just now we have Chris.
Hello.
And we got a bunch of stuff diving this week. We're going to talk about Stranger Things volume season 4 volume 2 and show and tell, along with some other stuff, so stay tuned for that. But unfortunately, we have to kick things off with some sad news. We lost another film legend this week. Actually, today we're recording this. James Caan passed away at age 82.
Yeah, what a never thought he would ever like go, you know. He just like was a movie staple.
Yeah, I mean, he was still out there. I mean, he's got like three movies that are like in production or were in production, like, and he was just in movies like last year. So he's been working still. So, but I mean, just so many classic roles. Obviously, The Godfather is what everyone has been going to today. Sonny Corleone in Godfather 1 and 2, and also the strange like. I forgot when I was looking up stuff about James Caan today, when I heard the news, like, there was, like, did you know about the Godfather, like, it was, like, that, like, it was in, like, the 80s, I think. It was, like, after the whole trilogy came out, it was, like, the Godfather, like, they, like, re-edited it, and it was, like, they basically made, like, a TV show. It was, like, the Godfather, what did they call it?
Or the old one?
It was like in like 80, the Godfather Saga in 1977. So it's basically after part 2 came out, they re-edited it for TV, and then they put it in like chronological order, and then they like aired it as like 4 episodes.
Whoa. I've never seen this version.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of like the recent one was like the Godfather Redux.
But that was 3, and then obviously James Caan wasn't in 3 because Sonny had left the series before that.
He was just in 1 and 2.
He was in 1 and 2, yeah.
They just didn't bother flashbacks.
And two was like not even like it was like a voice cameo, and like he showed up on set. Because two, I think, he shows up in like a last scene, because like the last scene is kind of like Don Corleone comes home and like all the kids are there, and then like you hear Sonny, but you don't see him. Because obviously two was all about the flashbacks to like young Marlon Brando with De Niro and stuff, and then also like Al Pacino's taking over everything.
Right.
But tons of other classic movies besides that. A Bridge Too Far, he was in. Rollerball, I still haven't seen Rollerball.
I've seen the cover. I could see it in my head. I've never seen it either.
I always try to track it between, like, because it just goes between streaming services. Like, it'll be on like whatever. So like, it'll be on Tubi, and then it'll be on Prime Video, and then it'll be on whatever. So I always try to track it, but I never like sit down and like watch it, which maybe now I'll have to like finally see it. But yeah, the OG Rollerball, which apparently is like a million times better than the weird remake from like whatever early 2000s.
Oh man, I haven't seen the remake one in so goddamn long, and it's just like now I have no reason to see it.
It was LL Cool J, and who else was in that?
Rebecca Romaine Stamos.
Yeah.
John Reno.
Yep.
Chris something.
Oh, was that a from American Pie?
Yeah,
Chris Klein. Yeah, he was the main guy. He was the James Caan.
They were trying to sell him as like main star, like Lundy, yeah, and stuff, but it just he just didn't find the right roles. Mm-hmm. And he had such a baby face at the time where it didn't make sense for him and Rebecca Romaine Stamos to hook up. Mm-hmm. And how many times have you seen it? Like once?
The remake? Yeah, once. Like,
yeah, it just stays with you. It's just like, it's not impressive as, I guess, yeah, the original Rollerball, which I've seen like clips, I've seen people talk about it, I've seen the influential things, but I just haven't seen the whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, Brian's Song is also a huge one, which is also a TV movie. I mean, probably one of the biggest TV movies of all time, because like it's still obviously talked about today. And probably and
Is
like,
it the
some, like
football one?
yeah, it's people. I think it's up there where like some people consider like one of the best like football movies of all time. Well, about Brian Piccolo, it's like a true story.
Gotcha.
Him and Billy Dee Williams. Thief is also a big one. That was like a like a I think that was a early was that a Michael Mann movie, I think. Yeah,
Isn't it? It feels like it is.
that was an early Michael Mann movie, Thief. Dick Tracy, I think he was just one of like the random like weird criminals. The Program. But I think a favorite of like of ours is a Eraser, obviously. When he like was up against Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, again, unfair fight if they were hand-to-hand
Yeah,
combat, but it's still
yes.
pretty cool to see James Caan try to fight him.
Try to fight Arnold, yeah. And he was just such a great like especially when you like the reveal came and you're like it was like, oh, he's the bad guy. Like he was just like chopping scenery.
Wait, said what?
He was like chopping when he found out that he was the villain. He just started like chopping scenery. I'm just like monologuing and like
Oh yeah. He became like a cartoon villain, which is funny.
yeah.
But yeah, man, I mean, even I liked his role in bit roles, like Grandma's Boy. Or not, was it not Grandma's Boy. What
Well, he
was
was
the one
in.
with Adam Sandler? And it's like Something Boy or something. Going at Adam Sandler and Adam, whatever his name is, from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, that's my boy.
That's my boy. Yeah, he played a no-nonsense like priest who was a former boxer and stuff, and he had a fun role. Like he leaned into the James Caan like look.
Yeah. Oh, and also obviously, I mean, I think there's like a huge swath of people who like only know him from Elf.
Really?
Probably. That definitely like introduced him to like a whole whole new like audience that like probably have never seen The Godfather, but like, oh, he's Buddy's dad from Elf. And then, but he was also it was also weird because like he was also like the dad from Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. Like both
Was it?
movies, yeah.
Oh yeah, he was the gruff dad who didn't understand science.
Yeah, that was like his thing for like a couple years there, like mid 2000s.
Like elderly, like father figure who doesn't get shit.
Yeah,
I mean, it's cool he was versatile like
I gotta learn to love my weird son.
that. Yeah, that's a movie I haven't seen in a while. It's like I kind of forget he's in it.
Oh, apparently he also came back for all the versions of like the Godfather video game. Remember
What?
that in like the mid 2000s?
It was like two of them.
I'm looking at IMDb says there's the Godfather Mob Wars, the Godfather the Don's Edition, and then the Godfather Black Hand Edition.
What the hell? There's like that many video games?
Or is it just the same game, different versions? Or was like is like the Wii version and the like regular
Yeah,
version, the PC
I
version,
think
and like.
it's yeah, it's the same version. It's just depending on if it's re-released for the generation. Because it came out PS2, and then they just like re-released it again up until like PS3. But there was a Godfather 2 game, I believe.
Yeah.
But yeah, like what? I didn't realize that he actually came back for that. That's good for him, man.
I wonder if he like actually recorded new lines, or he just get credited because they use like movie clips. I think they came up with a whole new crazy story for those games. So I think I'm sure if he came back, he probably did like new stuff for it. So.
Yeah, I mean, his voice doesn't really change that
I mean, Sean
drastically.
Connery came back for that from Rush with Love
Rushing with
Kingdom,
Love.
so
Which I still had to play. Like I've been meaning to play it and just haven't played it.
it's not as good as Agent. What's
Everything or Nothing?
Everything or Nothing. Like, that one, Everything or Nothing is a better game, but like it's similar. Like From Russia with Love is like a slightly lesser version of Everything or Nothing.
I mean, at this point, I'll take what I can get. It's not like, you know, I realize I just haven't played it. I just haven't seen it in a while. But if I ever find it for like $5, I'm just never gonna pick it up.
And they added,
I don't think that game's ever gonna get re-released.
No, probably not. And they had like a crazy, like the original movie doesn't have a big enough action sequence. So we have to like come up with this like insane like final action sequences for this movie. They totally come up with this crazy, you're like in a jetpack flying at the island, like blowing up missiles, like ending for it. Which is not From Russia with Love at all. It had like way more action to it. But anyway, R.I.P. James Caan. Definitely go check out some movie, like some of his older stuff, or like just check out some James Caan movies. Oh, I think do we mention Misery? Misery. I mean, Misery is also obviously like a James Caan classic. Like yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we for us Chris probably. I think we'll try to watch Moorball.
I feel like that's a required watch.
Yeah, that's on like Roku channel or something right now. So track that down and watch that. So anyway, moving on to some other news. We got a bunch of trailers to dive into this week, and probably the biggest trailer is we got the first trailer for the long, long awaited Clerks 3, which is coming out in September this year. I think Kevin Smith was like started talking about that in like 2012, so it's been like at least 10 years since like it's been in some sort of development. But yeah, it's finally coming out. Everyone's back, and it's going like very meta. So like, it basically the plot is that so at the end of Clerks 2, they rebuilt the Quick Stop / RST video because it burned down at the beginning of Clerks 2. So Randall and Dante were back at the Quick Stop, and Clerks 3 picks up, and they're still back there, but then Randall has a heart attack, and he survives, but then he decides like I'm gonna like pursue my dream of like making a movie, so then he's making a movie about like life at the Quick Stop, which is basically the first Clerks movie.
Yeah, I guess they're just it's gotten a full signal feedback.
Yeah, they're doing it's super super meta. They're making a movie about it, which is basically the first movie in the third movie. And it looks like there's a lot of like references and jokes. Like there's like a whole joke about like the alternate ending that everyone knows about for Clerks, where like Dante got killed, and then like Randall's trying to put that into his movie, and like commentary about like Jay and Silent Bob being like this R2-D2 C-3PO of the franchise, and looks like a bunch of like Kevin Smith's like famous friend, like Ben Affleck, is gonna like audition for the movie, and like a bunch of other people that are gonna show up.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like very a movie made with love in that sense. So I hope it does well. Because if it's just people try to criticize it, like it's meaningless and stuff, and there's nothing really happening. Like it's not about that. It's about just like these people living their lives.
Yeah, hopefully it's not like there's more to it than just like, hey, remember the first movie, like we're referencing we're making the first movie, but now it's like they're making the movie in the movie. I hope it's not all meta jokes. I hope there's like actually some like just like, you know, character jokes and stuff that they've had and like the pop culture like discussions they've had before that made the Clerks franchise, the series, like what it is.
Did you like them in Jay and Silent Bob like reboot?
I haven't seen Jay and Silent Bob reboot yet.
I mean, it's kind of meta there, and it comes full circle to something where if they didn't make anything else, it would have been fine too. But this is just like sweet, more bonus stuff.
Yeah. I just really want the cartoon to come back, or something to do something like with the cartoon, because like the Clerks anime series is so good.
It was ahead of its time. I don't know where you can watch it now.
It aired on fucking ABC of on all prime time. Like if that had come out, if Adult Swim existed and that came out, we'd be like probably still running today. Like
yeah, it's a shame, and it just like no one wants to touch it, but it's making money, more money than like other things that they try to force, you know. And it's like people have been like, hey, we want to watch Clerks, and they're like, no, here's something that's gonna fail, like here's something that like we're gonna move to some hard network to watch. I don't know where you can watch like the Clerks TV animated show now.
I think you can I think you can buy episodes on like iTunes and like Amazon stuff, but it's not actually streaming anywhere.
Yeah, it's all like right now, who's promoting it the heaviest is like Apple.
Yeah.
Buy an episode for like $1.99.
But man, yeah, there's stuff from the Clerks series I still like quote today, like Nothing Can Kill the Grimace, or like Who's Driving Car, Bear's Driving Car.
Yeah, then no one can stop the Grimace one. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, Nothing Can Kill the Grimace.
I mean, even like the like Leonardo part of
Yeah.
meeting like the mayor and stuff of Leonardo. And you still haven't gone to Quick Stop yet, have you?
Nope, I've never been to the actual Quick Stop.
Next time you come, Jersey, go.
But yeah, so Clerks 3 is gonna be out. There's gonna be a special 2-night premiere in Red Bank, obviously, on September 4th, and then it's gonna be out wide everywhere on September 13th, so you can check it out then. And then we also got the first trailer for Amsterdam, which is the return of David O. Russell, who we've not seen since 2015 with when he made Joy, the Jennifer Lawrence movie. But Amsterdam is it's got I think literally every single person in Hollywood's in it or close to it. But the main trio is Christian Bale, Margot Robbie, and John David Washington, and it's in the 30s, and that trio is our friends who met during World War I, and then it's 1930 now, and then they get accused of a murder. They're like the prime suspects in a murder, and they have to feel like kind of clear names and figure out who actually did it. So it's like it looks like another like kind of whodunit murder mystery comedy kind of thing. Which I mean, we're also talking. I think last week we talked about like See How They Run, and I think the Knives Out sequel is also coming out in the fall this year. So like if you're into murder mystery comedy stuff, like you're gonna have like a huge selection of stuff to check out in the fall. But yeah, and so along with that main trio, I mean, there's also like you got Rami Malek, Robert De Niro, Zoe Saldana, Timothy Olyphant, Anya Taylor-Joy, Taylor Swift, Chris Rock, Michael Shannon, Mike Myers, other people. Like
Probably people that just couldn't cram in that trailer.
the cast is ridiculous. I mean, that's probably like the reason why, not enough to just watch it. But I mean, also it also looks like it's gonna have like it looks funny, like a lot of like funny bits, like Christian Bale character like gets injured in the war, so he has a like, glass eye now, and it looks like there's gonna be like a lot of like weird stuff with that, where, like he just loses
Yeah,
his
his
eye.
prosthetic is pretty advanced for the time. It's like World War I, so it's like. You watch Boardwalk Empire, right? Or
Yeah,
you at least know the character?
I've seen a little bit of it, yeah.
Yeah, but you know the character who has like a mask on his face?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm like, how? Like, what prosthetic did he use that was like very light?
Yeah, and there's like a joke at the I think it's in the trailer where like Rami Malek character like has like come up with some sort of like I don't know, like opiate, it's like some sort of opiate or something, or some, like, new drug, and then like there's a whole joke because like Christian Bale is like constantly in pain apparently or something, but he's also like a doctor, but then he just like they do the drops, is like ooh, that's fast. Like so whatever, like weird 1930s medicine.
Yep, that's pretty funny. Like, it's got snappy dialogue that I think is like that
Yeah,
comedy chops to it because it's
yeah.
not really a comedy, right? Like, I'll try to find out like the tone to this.
It's like a murder mystery comedy. But also like there might be like some like kind of some true kind of like historical things happening. Like it might be like this is all like these characters are all fake, but there's like but they're interacting with like actual like real events that happened or something.
I'm still trying to figure out like how, like where the events are. Like what event was this? Like the true events, like of what?
Yeah. I'm assuming they're in Amsterdam. The name of the movie is Amsterdam, I guess.
Is this about, like, change Amsterdam rules or something?
Yeah.
Is there, like, a law that this is based on?
Or a famous murderer case or something? I don't know, but...
Yeah.
I guess we'll find out in November this year. It's going to be November 4th, so you can check that out when that comes out. And then last trailers, we got the trailer for The Woman King, which is also based some kind of on true events or somewhat on like a true character, people or true like historical things. And Viola Davis stars as General Daniska, who it was a in the 1800s was like the leader of the Agoji, who are basically like one of the inspirations for like the Dora Milaje from Black Panther. Basically, like this kingdom, the kingdom of Dahomey in Africa had like this like group of like female warriors.
Yep. And so they look like very strong and elite.
So yeah, so this movie is like all like it's like Viola Davis is the general like leader of this group, and she wants to like build up their ranks because like the Europeans are like conquering Africa, and she wants to build them up to fight them. And so like it looks like we're gonna follow like a new recruit who joins them, and then through all the training, and then like probably like a big battle with the Europeans at the end.
I mean, it seems like the men do nothing in this game.
I mean, John Boyega is the king, but then like, yeah, this doesn't seem like they're fighting, like the men aren't fighting these battles at all. It's just like this group of women warriors are just like doing all the battles for them. And it's directed by Gina Prince Bythewood, who directed The Old Guard a couple years ago. So, which Old Guard had pretty awesome action. So hopefully this will have some awesome action as well. It looks like it's gonna have some cool, like, historical action battle stuff.
Yeah, I mean, she looks ripped.
Viola Davis, that's, yeah.
Yeah, Viola Davis is like, where is this in Suicide Squad?
Amanda Waller just shows up, like, dressed like this. It's like, everyone's just like, oh shit. Like, you're not gonna hit this Viola Davis with a golf club.
I know.
But yeah, this is going to be September 16th in theaters, so you can check that out also when that comes out. And then moving on to some other news, we got some exciting Marvel news. Deadline confirmed that Charlie Cox and Vincent D'Onofrio are going to be back for Echo, the upcoming like Hawkeye spinoff show, as obviously Daredevil and Kingpin.
Mm-hmm.
So just, you know, Further bringing back the Netflix Defenders.
Now I'm wondering, like, how much of the Netflix stuff is going to be retained?
Well, I mean,
they said it's like they kind of are related, they kind of aren't.
I mean, we saw Kingpin like pretty significantly in Hawkeye, so that's
right. But is the
I thought
Daredevil stuff related or not? Because they didn't quite say yet.
I thought Kevin Feige said that like the Netflix stuff is
canon
or something, or someone said that like the Netflix stuff is canon, it's not like a Spider-Verse. It's not like that was like another universe. Like it's like the main Marvel universe. And apparently, Kristen Ritter might be back for this Echo show too, as Jessica Jones. Although she might also be in like She-Hulk too. That's like the big rumor. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if they'd ever bring Iron Fist back, because I feel like that'd be the one that like they don't bring back, like. I mean, Mike Coulter's busy with Evil right now, so I don't know if he would be able to come back as Luke Cage at some point. But I'm sure, like, they probably want to bring him back. And then it has seriously toned down John Bernthal's Punisher to like be like in like the Disneyfied Marvel universe, but I would like to see him come back. Yeah. Like a PG-13 John Bernthal Punisher. Like I don't know.
Just shooting everyone with paintball guns.
He gets like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. had like the like I think they call them like icers. It was like the non-lethal guns. Like he just has all those now. He's just like a machine gun that shoots like tranquilizer bullets. Or like I think on Ms. Marvel, like the damage control has like these like they shoot like weird like rings that like stun people. They have like guns like assault rifles that shoot like these like it's basically like the stun from like Star Wars, like the blue circle from Star Wars that stuns people. It's like what damage control has now. But yeah, so Echo, so Daredevil and Kingpin are gonna factor in somehow in Echo. I mean, I think we're gonna assume Kingpin is probably gonna be like the main villain of Echo, right?
Maybe. I mean, I feel like he's got like a head wound injury or something that he has to deal with.
We didn't see where he got shot or how he got shot, so I mean, they could like just come up with that, like he probably got shot in the shoulder or something, or like he's. Because it was just like an off-screen like bullet gunshot sound that we heard. So, but yeah, I think Echo is going to be next year sometime. It's going to be one of the like 2023 Disney Plus shows. So, we'll probably find out more about it maybe like end of the year or something.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You know, Echo is a surprisingly fun character.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to do that thing where, like, her and Daredevil are, like, really close or rivals.
They fight each other. They have, like, the classic, like, disagreement fight, and then they team up.
I mean, it's definitely, like, a staple in those kind of things. Mm-hmm. As long as, like, they don't sneak in an Iron Fist and it's just like, well, Iron Fist is here and messing things up for everybody.
Bring back Iron Fist, but just recast him. Like, not have Finn Jones come back. Just have an actual like martial arts person.
You know, in the new Iron Fist, he's like an Asian martial artist now.
Yeah, do that. Like, just I feel like
yeah, just don't explain it. Just there he is.
It's just like it's because of Endgame. Or be like he's the Iron Fist from like another universe. They got pulled here for some reason.
Yeah,
and he actually knows martial arts. Portal. Like. Louis Tan is actually Iron Fist, not like the drunken master like enemy guy for one episode.
Such a waste. He was such a good character.
Yeah, I mean that was like the only time that show like came to life was like, that one episode, that one fight. Like,
I Game of Death episode was kind of fun.
That was okay too. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's it. Like after that, downhill.
So, other news, the Duffer Brothers, who obviously, you know, bring us Stranger Things, which we'll talk about in a little bit here, but they're sticking with Netflix for a while. They actually they're creating a new production company called Upside Down Pictures. And they're doing a bunch of new stuff at post Stranger Things. They're doing a bunch of stuff for Netflix. And one of the things is they are going to do a series based on The Talisman, which I think was an Easter egg or kind of like referenced in, it was in like the last episode of volume 4, like Lucas is reading it in the hospital. But yeah, it's a 1984 Stephen King, Peter Straub book. It's sort of like the, like kind of like the proto Dark Tower, because like, I feel like it has a lot of similar stuff to the Dark Tower, but then like Stephen King was just like, oh, I can make this like a whole like eight book series. Like, I'll just do that. Because it's like a big fantasy novel. It's like this kid who can like he goes to like another dimension or another like universe, and then like to like find something that will like save his sick mom. And then there's like a whole bunch of like weird stuff, like weird like stuff that happens in like there's like a whole bunch of like, crazy characters and stuff in that alternate universe called Territories. So it's definitely a lot of similarities to Stranger Things, but like the like alternate universe like kids going to like another universe and like trying to like figure out like what's going on, like, and like get something from the alternate universe stuff. So
right, I'm like, I just wonder, like, in a spin-off show, because they're promising, it's like, are they just gonna go back to explore the other, like, kids, maybe?
Oh, God, please not the season two, like, Chicago gang, whatever the hell they were. Like, the other test subjects?
Yeah.
I feel like the reaction was that it was so bad that like they just, because that was clearly a spinoff. They were clearly gonna do like a spinoff with those characters, and then like everyone hated it. So it's like, well, we're not doing that apparently.
It's like, well, no, we'll wait. We'll wait until basically people want that.
Yeah.
We haven't yet, but let's see. Okay, now this is a big Stranger Things spoiler, but I still can't figure out how the kids have powers.
Yeah, I mean, maybe there'll be a season five like reveal, like, of like, here's actually how like, the Upside Down, like, got created, and like, here's how like people, like, one got his powers and like, how everyone else got their powers, like.
Yeah, maybe they'll explain that. I don't even know. It's such a big spoiler for season four. We'll talk more about it, but.
Yeah,
I just don't even know how that works. They explain something, but then they kind of like make it vague, and I'm like, I still don't understand how this works. All right, what else is next?
But yeah, so they're working on Talisman. That's gonna be a Netflix series. So another big Stephen King thing coming soon. And they're also gonna try again with Death Note. Which we obviously got the Adam Wingard movie that no one likes on Netflix.
It's like not even recommended to me anymore on Netflix.
Yeah, but the Duffer Brothers are gonna try to do a new like live action series based on Death Note. So hopefully they'll be better than the movie.
I guess you could try.
I think it's a total reboot. Like, it has nothing to do with the movie version. Like, they're just gonna try it again. And they got a bunch of other stuff. Yeah, like you mentioned, like there's this Stranger Things spinoff coming, which we have no idea what that's gonna be. And other projects for Netflix. Like they got a whole bunch of stuff coming up for mostly with Netflix. So they're sticking with Netflix for the long haul. And then last bit of news for this week is that we are getting another entry in Vice's Dark Side series. So we've got. It all kicked off with Dark Side of the Ring, and then we got Dark Side of Football, Dark Side of the 90s. Now we're getting Dark Side of Comedy, which is going to be premiering in August, I think. And it's gonna be a 10-episode series. It's gonna focus on like comedians who had like troubled or like controversial lives, or and so like it's gonna be, they actually revealed all the episodes. So it's gonna be Andrew Dice Clay, Chris Farley, Freddie Prinz, Artie Lang, Roseanne, Dustin Diamond, Greg Giraldo, Brett Butler, Richard Pryor, and Maria Bamford are going to be the 10 episodes.
Okay. Some of them have, like, classic craziness. I feel like Dice's is pretty, like, simplified. He hasn't done anything crazy besides just, say, mean shit now and then, you know?
Yeah.
Richard Pryor is a crazy story. Like, his stories are worthy of, like, just, like, examining his life and his wacky-ass timeline.
Yeah, so I think all these episodes are going to be, like more like, biographic, like kind of, like, all like, how all these, like, comedians got into comedy and, like, kind of, like, what happened when they, like, got fame and, like, the pressures and, like, obviously some of them, like Chris Farley and stuff succumbed to like the fame and passed away prematurely from drugs and stuff. So it's gonna have like Patton Oswalt, Godfrey. They actually interviewed Gilbert Godfrey before he passed away, so there's gonna be like some Gilbert Godfrey like talking head stuff. A lot of like comedians like talking about like these other comedians and stuff. So
yeah, but I wonder if they're still gonna have the classic like reenactment.
They are. They said they are. So, evocative recreations, Chris. And it's gonna be narrated by Dave Foley, so.
Like the wrestler?
No, that's Mick Foley. Dave Foley from like
Kids in the Hall.
Kids in the Hall is gonna be narrating it. Yeah, so.
I was confused the two.
And it's gonna start August 16th on Vice, and then it'll probably be on all those Vice shows, Dark Side shows, eventually ends up on Hulu. It seems like, so if you don't have Vice or you don't have cable, you can probably watch on Hulu sometime in the near future. Which Dark Side of the 90s is pretty it's going on right now. They just had their big UFC two-parter that was pretty awesome. It kind of had even like a little like mini like Dark Side of the Ring like inside of that episode, because they had like a whole like, because Ken Shamrock was like featured on that episode super heavily, so like they had like a whole like kind of like mini like Dark Side of the Ring Ken Shamrock episode inside that episode. Because he just went crazy with drugs at one point. Like it was like he was talking about like he's basically just like bought this like a condo or apartment that like in San Diego that had like a jacuzzi in the bedroom and like mirrors and like marble, it's like a stripper pole, and this like what? It was just like it, and then it's like he just like he didn't do anything but just stay in that room, and like strippers would just come over like at 2 a.m and then you just like just do coke and like ecstasy and this like for like just like not leave his like this apartment for like weeks on end.
Yeah, that sounds what like a coke binge sounds like, just do drugs, never leave.
Yeah,
I don't know how you get food, because like food, like how do you like get food service takeout?
I don't know. That was old fashioned takeout. Ken Shamrock is just like, yeah, he's lived a life.
Also, like, is he still pretty like bulky, or did he lose weight after that?
He seems like he's pretty, so he's in shape.
That's crazy to be like on all those drugs and still have like a workout regimen.
Yeah. But so Dark Side Comedy will be out in August. So hopefully, I mean, all the Dark Side shows. Like, I think football has been the weakest one, just because it's like, I mean, some of them have been interesting, some of them have been kind of like, all right, like this. But yeah, I mean, Dark Side of the Ring is like super interesting. I mean, in the like if you're like true crime stuff, there's like some of them are just like really horrific and like, and then Dark Side 90s has been like a mix of like horrific and like kind of just like fun, like the Beanie Babies episode mixed with like Y2K and cults and stuff. So I Dark Side of the Comedy is probably gonna be a mix too of like, because some of those stories are probably like not as bad, and some of them are just like, oh wow, this is like a terrible, horrifying life.
Right, you're just like, well, they were just like dealing with like all these terrible issues and somehow getting on stage.
Yeah.
The Chris Farley one is probably going to be like the sad one.
Depressing, yeah. But so that's it for news this week. So why don't we jump into show and tell? And as we've been talking about, Chris, you and I both saw Stranger Things 4 Volume 2, the final two episodes of Season 4. Which was basically, I mean, I don't know why they had like, they could split it up even more. Like, see, episode 9 is like 2.5 hours long. Like,
yeah.
Like, why not make 10 episodes or something? Like,
break this up in two. I get like the drama does dip if you wait an episode, I guess, and have time. But
I mean,
there's so many like fade in and out scenes.
You're gonna watch it immediately. It's not a weekly show. You're gonna be like, it's like if they split up episode 9 to like two parts, it's not like you're like, oh man, I gotta wait till like a week for season. You're gonna be like 5 seconds and play next episode. Like,
right. Yeah, it's not like a weekly thing anymore. But yeah, because I felt like they did a lot of fake like blackouts and stuff that just like, oh, it's like transitional black screen.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know when like things were ending or like what was happening at some point. I just like wasn't paying attention to the time. I was just like watching the story.
Yeah.
But man, was it a roller coaster of things.
Yeah.
Let's see, like Max was baiting herself to be bait.
Mm-hmm.
The kids and the teens were like, we'll just go to the upside down world to fight Vecna, even though They had no proof that anything would work.
I mean, it was a pretty solid plan based on like what they knew. They just like didn't like they kind of just like got it all got like if 11 didn't show up and like stop him, like they all would have been dead. But yeah. Like it was like it was at the, for the time like at the time when they came up with it was a pretty solid plan of like, oh, he's like he's gonna be a trance so we can like go and kill him in the Upside Down and then stop everything.
But the what they were gonna do, like, I still don't even understand why Vecna allowed that to happen. Maybe it was part of his plan. Because basically he has this like he's like a super like psychic guy. Like yeah. He's able to kill just like his mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't explain why when he was lit on fire at the end, he just stands there. He's not throwing anything. He's not even saying a word. He actually just like points his hand out a couple times while he's yeah. getting shotgun blast. And that's yeah. it. Like, mm-hmm. as epic as that was, I rewatched that scene again. And I was like, this doesn't actually make sense.
Was he maybe not, because he was also trying to concentrate on like sucking Max's soul out, whatever he was trying to do. So maybe he
no,
was like,
he got kicked out of it already.
Oh, okay.
See, it would make sense if they were attacking him while he was doing the Max thing, right?
Because he was fully in a trance, trying to like take Max's like take her mind or whatever he was trying to do.
Her mind, right?
And then Steve throws the first Molotov cocktail at him, and then he's like back in like the Upside Down reality, and
right,
then he just
11 holds him away, but she doesn't yeah. actually do anything to make him leave. It's up to the other guys who like make him leave. I get it, like he was distracted. It was all like everyone distracting something. But it didn't still make sense how their plan worked. Because at that point, 11 can't help him because now he's in the Upside Down world and not in the mind world.
Yeah.
But they just throw Molotov cocktails too, and then they just shoot him, and that's it. Like, that's the whole fight. It's epic and slow, but in reality, it's like, wait, so Vecna just took all that. Like, he didn't even say anything. Like, how did you get in here? He didn't say, like, you know, you can't defeat me. Like, no bad guy talk. Not even a trap. Like, they didn't even, like, you know, granted, they were smart to, like, realize he's the most weakest in trance mode. Mm-hmm. But they could have just pulled the gun to his face and blew it off in trance mode. Like, you didn't have to let him on fire, too.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, I don't know how this works. But that's the thing. It's like, maybe that's actually Vecna's goal was to do that? Because then, like, that his vision of the future came true.
Yeah, he achieved his goal because, like, Max technically died. So that opened the fourth gate and then, like, Upside Down and started, like, destroying Hawkins.
So that, but I still understand how the souls work either. Like, he needed four minds to open the gate.
He got more powerful. So every time he killed someone, he got more powerful. And then that was, like, allowed him to, like, the fourth one, like, giving them the power to, like, open the gates or whatever.
How did he open the gate? Like, it wasn't even, like, shown.
They also mentioned, like, oh, every place he kills someone has a gate to it, or has a gate open or something. And then if he kills the fourth person, then it, like, connects all the gates, and that, like, causes, like, the crazy, like, seismic fractures.
I guess.
It's gonna be this big season five. Like, it's like there's like a giant fucking like Upside Down fracture now that they have to like deal with.
But didn't they do that in season three where it's like in the roots and stuff, like underground?
Well, the
two, you know, season two, maybe.
Two had the huge the big portal that like they Eleven had to close. To like, and that's not the mind flayer from coming out, and then but then the Russians reopened the gate, I think, and or like they opened a new gate in three, which caused like that the mind flayer come out in three and like take over Billy and stuff. So,
and is it okay? So then I don't know what they're trying to imply with Vecna. Is Vecna the actual guy that creates the monsters, or is he really the general to the mind flayer? Like, I don't know.
It seems like in that, because we got additional flashbacks in episode 8, That like Vecna, aka whatever his like what Henry Creel, like it seems like he got to the Upside Down, and the Upside Down was kind of like this like undeveloped world, and he's the one that like actually like developed, like created it, or like developed it. Because they show him creating, like he creates like the Mind Flayer, like out of like the right. smoke and stuff. So like he's the mastermind of everything in the Upside Down, apparently.
Okay, so he is the mastermind then.
Yeah, he basically created everything in the Upside Down, and like real. I think like, he like kind of like, because like it seems like the Demogorgons are kind of just like he's like kind of like unorganized, just like they're like running around his like. Like just like mindless creatures, and then he takes them over, and like he creates the Mind Flayer, he creates like all these, and he basically like bends everything to his creation or whatever.
See, okay, that still doesn't explain the power. Like I thought maybe like these kids were like stronger in the Upside Down world, like they have a connection to it somehow.
Yeah,
but Vecna is able to just create what he wants in the Upside Down world, then I'm like, shouldn't 11 be able to do that then?
I mean, we've had so many flashbacks, but I feel like we need a flashback just to like somehow, we just explain. They need to kind of maybe just to give like an explanation of like where the powers come from, or like where like
how the Upside Down worked. Because even in the Upside Down, they did a thing where they explained that it's like all the garbage that goes in there, like all the forgotten stuff ends up there, an old snapshots from like 5 years ago.
Yeah, I feel like
remember
I feel
like Nancy's bear and all these.
Yeah, I feel like you need to kind of explain that too, of like why is it like stuck in like 5 years ago Hawkins or something, like
that's what I'm kind of confused about.
Vecna was just like I don't know, I give up. Like he was watching them for like, or like I guess the explanation I guess is like when it first opened the portal, then he got a glimpse of like current day Hawkins, quote unquote, and then like formed it to like look like that. But then why would he do that? Like why would he?
Okay, why did Will go in there? How did Will go in there?
Yeah,
they never explained. He just ends up in the Upside Down world because maybe like a Demogorgon.
I think the first said like Will's gonna have like a very super major part of season 5. So hopefully maybe they like finally explain like why Will is so important.
Well, do you remember in season 2 where he threw up a slug?
Yeah.
And then match is over.
And then he had the flash the Upside Down again, even though they thought like they like stopped it. So.
So that, I don't know, just like there's certain plot things that I'm like, all right, like it's not quite tied up yet. It's still strange.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it. You know, there's certain parts don't make sense to me, but it's still like okay.
There's some like when we're doing like the all time Stranger Things moments, like there's like some definitely some like stuff from this season that's going there. Like Eddie's master puppet scene. I mean, come on. Like
yeah. Again, Eddie became his lovable favorite, and it's just like, oh shit. The moment I looked at Eddie, I was like, they are crafting him to be the sacrifice. Like there's no way he is like going to walk away from this spot.
Not as many people died as I think people were expecting. Like Eddie was the only major death.
Yeah. Everyone else you just didn't care about.
Yeah. Although they kinda like everyone kinda had like a foreshadowing and like they just said something that's like, oh, normally you'd be dead if you said this. Like Steve like confessing his like dream of like having 6 kids for driving around a Winnebago. Like
yep. Everything was like exactly to feel sympathy for.
Yeah. Or Max and Lucas like saying they're gonna have a date at a movie like next on Friday or whatever afterwards, and like
yep.
Robin's just saying like, oh, I have a bad feeling that we're all like none of us are gonna like get out of this, or like some of us aren't gonna get out of this. Like
yeah, just all of those guys who went in. Everyone else is fine. Everyone else in the pizza place is whatever. Like, the drama in that group versus the drama in the other side.
The pizza place crew, besides, like, the, like, initial, like, attack on their house, like, they had pretty much no, like, they didn't really have any sort of, like, major threat against them. They just, like, were just driving around in a pizza van for, like, the entire season.
I want to know what's up with that girl that got hit in the face with a roller skate. Like, she just got exited out of that show with that attack.
Yeah.
I thought she was going to play like, a different part.
Are they going to, like, I'm assuming, like, everyone's going to move back to Hawkins? Or is, like, because Eleven's going to probably, is definitely going to stay with Topper again. Are they going to stay in the cabin again, though? Like, they're going to be back in, like, their Unabomber-style shack in the woods?
And that was, like, a once-in-a-while thing for him, because I think he still went into the town to work.
And then is Joyce, Will, and Jonathan going to move back to California? Or are they going to come back to Hawkins? Like,
well, she used the money somehow. Like, she got 40 grand, which was a lot of money back in the 80s, too.
I think
this thing.
A bunch of people mentioned that, and I think there's a line where she mentioned it's a trust that Popper set up for Eleven or something, or like the government. There's some sort of trust that got set up that she used the money from that they had. So apparently Hopper had 40 grand lying around or something.
Okay. I was wondering about that.
Apparently, it's like one line, like a quick line that like mentioned, like explains where the money came from. But then it still doesn't really explain it. Just like, oh, okay. Where did the money come from? But yeah. The Master Puppet scene is great. Hopper killing a Demogorgon with like, I think it was literally the sword from Conan the Barbarian.
Was it?
Yeah, they mentioned like it's like the exact same sword that like Arnold uses in Conan the Barbarian.
I thought it seemed familiar. You know, he wouldn't be so bad as a like Conan-esque character, like an older Conan.
Yeah,
I got a feeling if he starts training, he can do it.
I mean, he tried to be Hellboy, and I don't think he was the problem with the Hellboy movie. Just like everything else about that movie was the problem. But
yeah, I think them trying to cram like 3 arcs of Hellboy stories in one was the problem.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not. I mean, again, seeing Hopper like going from like camp survivor to like kind of like a loving character with like a tormented background to a barbarian warrior, a lot of things going on for him.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what are we gonna do with season 5? Like, that's how I'm like, where is this going to go?
Yeah, because they mentioned a time jump in season 5, but how the hell are you gonna do a time jump? You're gonna be like, oh, it's like, what, however many years later, and like we've been like fighting like the underground upside down for like it's like now it's like a war movie. It's like a war movie where we've been like fighting the Demogorgons for like 5 years or whatever. Like,
two ways this can happen in a time jump. Everyone just ignores the city on fire, like the town on fire, and you live with the demons. Or everyone's like, just after that day when like the like tornado monster showed up, it's gonna like fight whatever comes out of that pit. Mm-hmm. And they've been doing it for years, like it's become like a Terminator like thing.
Yeah,
it's like the humanity thing. Like Eleven's gonna be the John Connor.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be even stupid, but I could see it happen if they introduce time travel season 5.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, everything else in this show, so they could do some sort of weird like time travel thing, like L opens a portal to like the future or something. Like,
I could see that, or you send herself to the past, and it's one of those like
she
was her own mom or something stupid. Like
yeah, they also have to deal with like the military guy who's like still after them, who like last time he saw me, like he had captured Paul Reiser. Like, so it's like that guy's still out there like trying to kill Eleven.
Yeah, I thought that was going to get a little bit resolved, but they really are saving him for season 5.
Yeah. I feel like they have to do a thing where it's like maybe he finally finds them, but it's like he realizes, like, then like just like a swarm of Demogorgons start showing up, and it's just like, oh, okay. Like, we do have to team up to like, I have to use my military like force to like help stop this.
But yeah, I think we recommend it.
Oh, movie. Yeah, it's
a good send-off for season 4.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's definitely one of the best seasons. Like, I would probably put it up. I mean, I'm trying to think. I mean, 1 is probably the best season still, just because of like it was like the freshest of it, and like it was like story-wise, it was like solid. But then, And it, but I mean, three was also like two. I think two is definitely the weakest season. I would probably go maybe like 1, 4, 3, 2. I don't know. Three and four are like super close. They're both like super good. And so they're like really like neck and like it could like depending on the day, it could be like three or four could be the second best season to me, I think.
I mean, three was like interesting. It definitely had like a good balance of like fun characters and then like interesting monster and then
three might be stronger just because like the character like everyone was kind of even though they kind of split everyone into groups, they're all still in Hawkins. Like
yeah,
the crazy split of like everyone's like across the world for season four. Like I mean, which seems like they're not gonna do it season five, like because everyone's back in Hawkins, so that everyone's gonna be back together for season five.
There's a fire to fight.
Yeah, but that was interesting for a season, but like it definitely kind of killed some of like the character like interactive stuff and like some of the fun of like oh everyone's together dealing with this. And like yeah, like and some of the groups like just like the like I mean I could not like. The Will, Mike, Jonathan stuff was just like, all right, like they kind of have no purpose until they find 11 again. And like the Hopper Russian prison stuff was like interesting, but also like it just kept like they kind of like how many times did he escape and then get captured again? Like three times. Well, it was like twice, but then they decided like, oh, we have to like voluntarily go back in to like fight the Demogorgons now. So, but yeah, I mean, it was a great season. Definitely super excited for season five to see how they end things. Hopefully, it ends with like a really like solid ending and not like a Game of Thrones ending. But what else did you see besides Stranger Things, Chris?
Not much, really. I've been kind of like watching the Vinland Saga, or what's it, the Vinland Saga, the like the Norse anime again, where okay. It's just a story about a bunch of like Vikings. I think I've talked about it once, but like I didn't finish the season. I finished like halfway through and then I stopped because it was like the dub version or the original subtitle version on Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. But Netflix has it now and it has the full dub version, so it's just faster for me to throw on TV and like watch it. And you know, it's like don't get me wrong, I love original subtitle anime. It's just like it's more authentic and you get more of a character with it, right? Dubbing's gotten better over the years, but it's just easier to throw in the background without like trying to like look around and try to see what's going on. So I'm rewatching that again. That's having a season two at some point, and I definitely recommend for like anime because it's like an easy anime to get into without being like too. It's not cute at all. It's not like oh, it's a cutesy anime. It's like very violent. It's very like. That perfect blend of like anime style with mature content, and it's not some crazy horror thing. It's very like violent and like adultish. So when people think anime is made for kids or for teens, like this is not. Like this is a good show to be like, no, like watch this and you'll see the hype. So yeah, just take my time on that. Mm-hmm. Probably next week when I have a recap of watching, like, getting up to date with the boys, getting, probably seeing that, I forgot what movie came out. I haven't thought about it. It just, it's like there's so much things going on right now that, like, yeah. I just don't have time to, like, sit and watch something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll think about it. I'll look it up. But anyway, what have you been watching, Zach?
I saw quite a bit besides Stranger Things. So I saw The Contractor, which came out early this year. So this is the Chris Pine kind of military action movie. And yeah, Chris Pine is a Green Beret who gets kicked out. He basically has like a knee injury from like a previous mission. And then being in the movies, he's like trying to train, like he's also using like steroids to like try to like make his knee injury not like as like noticeable or like not like affecting him for his like Green Beret duties. But then he gets like a new CO, and then he finds out he's like, you're kicked out of the military, so for using illegal steroids. And then he loses like his medical coverage and stuff like that. And then his family has like a whole bunch of bills to pay. So then he kind of like finds his friend Mike, who's played by Ben Foster, and Mike is working for like a kind of a PMC, but like they apparently work for like the Department of Defense doing missions, like Black Ops missions. And yeah. Kiefer Sutherland is the head of this group, and so Chris Pine joins them and then goes on a mission to Berlin. But it's his first mission, but the mission goes bad. And then he's kind of like on the run being hunted and trying to figure out what the hell's going on. So it's a decent like military born-ish, like it actually reminded me a lot of like Without Remorse, although I think Without Remorse is better, but like it's sort of in that vein of like, it's like that kind of like, you know, like Black Ops espionage, like, military actions kind of stuff. It doesn't really do anything like super like, oh, I've never seen this before, or like action wise or anything, but like it's fine. Paramount put it out, so it's gonna be on Paramount Plus at some point in the near future here. So like if you see that Paramount Plus, like it might be worth like checking out in there. But I don't know. Nothing too spectacular, but like a solid like action movie to throw on. It also tries to do some sort of like social commentary stuff, like about like PMCs, I think, and I guess like the failure of like supporting veterans, I guess, or something. But like it tries to do that plus like be like an action movie, and it doesn't really do either of those things that great. It's just sort of like a, like, you know, jack of all trades, master of none kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, when it's on Paramount Plus, I would say maybe check it out. And then I saw a bunch of stuff on Shudder, because I neglected my Shudder subscription for a little bit there. So actually, because it was 4th of July, I think it actually went up on 4th of July, but they added Uncle Sam, the, 1996 slasher movie. Have you ever seen that, Chris? Or heard about it?
Is that the one, like, Uncle Sam, the character, is the murderer?
Well, it's a, like, undead, I think Air Force sergeant who, it gets shipped back to the United States, and then... Yeah, he puts on like a Uncle Sam costume and starts going around killing people. It's from Bill Lustig and Larry Cohen, who basically brought you like Maniac Cop. It's very Maniac Cop, but like if Maniac Cop was like a veteran and not, or like a army like military guy, not a cop. Like it's kind of a lot of similar stuff to Maniac Cop. Even like the look of like Uncle Sam before he puts on the costume. Like is there like Maniac Cop esque.
Gotcha.
But basically, yeah, it's like he's killing like Kuwait, or like quote unquote killed in Kuwait, and then like, and then shipped back to the States, and then his nephew, who is maybe one of the most annoying, like terrible characters for like child characters I've ever seen in a movie. Like he's like almost like a like almost like a like. He has he would grow up to be like it's like this kid's gonna grow up to be like a fascist. Like he thinks his uncle's a hero, even though you find out later like his uncle was a horrible drunken like abuser, and like only joined the military because it let him kill people. But his nephew's like, oh, he's a hero and I want to be just like him. And then he's also like he goes to school and it's like when he finds like his uncle's because like, when he finds like his uncle's dead, he's like brings his like medals to school and he's like doing showing it off to the class, and like his teacher, who's played by like Timothy Bottoms, is like is saying like, oh, I opposed the Vietnam War, I didn't fight in the war or anything, and like his like Jody, like Uncle Sam's nephew Jody's like, well, you're a pussy, like you're like I'm gonna join the military and do whatever the government tells me to do, like
I'm gonna listen to what Big Brother says.
Yeah, I'm gonna kill whoever they tell me to kill. Like, I don't care. Like, that's what real hero does. But then, on 4th of July, like, literally at midnight on 4th of July, Uncle Sam comes to life, or, like, reanimates and comes back, and then, like, starts going on, like, killing people. And killing people who, like, some of them he kills because they're, like, being, like, anti-patriotic, basically. Like some, there's, like, these, like, teens in a cemetery, like, desecrating tombstones and stuff. Or, like, people who are, like, he goes to, like, the big, like, town, like, 4th of July celebration. And, like, there's, like, a congressman who's played by Robert Forster shows up. And he's, like, a corrupt, like, congressman. And so, like, Uncle Sam, like, straps, like, the fireworks display and blows him up. But other people he's killing because like he kills his wife's like new boyfriend who's like one of the cops in town, like he kills him just because like it's like that's my wife, I'm gonna kill you, like. But there's a lot of stuff where it's a movie, it's fun, but it's also kind of like a sloppy mess where they don't like there's stuff that like, they don't really explain or like it's just supposed to like go with it. Because they don't really explain like why, how he comes back to life, because it seems like he senses that his grave that they dug, because he's gonna be like buried next day, but they, like these teens are, like throwing beer cans in his like grave that they dug for him, and it's like he senses that, and that's how when he wakes up, I guess, and then there's a thing with like. One of his nephew's friends, who's like burned horribly in a fireworks accident the year before, has like a psychic connection to him. They didn't explain. It's just like he likes Uncle Sam. Just kind of goes up to this kid's like, "I'm gonna hurt the people that hurt you, kid. I'm your friend."
He doesn't talk with his mouth. He just says it through his mind.
Oh, I think he actually talks to him. But then like they apparently they have like a psychic connection because like this kid, Barry, I think, or is just like. Oh, I know where he is now. I know what he's planning. Like I can sense him or something. It's like they never explain why Uncle Sam like is like helping like besides like this. Oh, I'm gonna help this kid like get his revenge on people. Although it's like he doesn't even like it doesn't even seem like he kills like people that like, caused like the accident or something. It's, they don't single out like a single person like, oh, this person is responsible for the firework accident. It's just like. It's just like he there's an accident and then like Uncle Sam's like is saying he's gonna get revenge for this kid and just kills random people. So
it just seems like this movie wanted to be something like a message about like vets and stuff, and then
it's very tongue in cheek. It's like remember that massive horror episode Homecoming about the zombie all the zombie like veterans come back and stuff. It was like a Joe Dante episode.
Yeah, but like I can't remember like weren't they the good guys?
I think it's definitely some like social commentary like satire going on in Uncle Sam. Like they're really trying to be like, oh, Uncle Sam is like his aggressive patriotism is like ridiculous and you should not try to emulate this. And this is stupid and terrible. So, but a lot of fun kills and stuff. So like, it's definitely fun watch. It's a fun watch if you want to watch like a you know like 4th of July themed slasher movie. But it definitely is like it's kind of like the like actual like machinations of it are very sloppy and kind of just like you just kind of have to go with it, and not really like try to figure out what the hell why things are happening or like why how he reanimated like all why there's like certain things are happening, but. You get a lot of fun, like, 4th of July related kills, like, someone's head ends up in a barbecue grill, and, like, someone gets killed during a sack race and stuff, so, yeah, it's fun if you want to check it out on Shudder. And then I also saw Alligator, which they added, I think, a little bit ago to Shudder, which is
an old one.
A cult classic. it's one of the many movies that came in like the wake of Jaws. Like it was like a one of the like a Jaws kind of ripoff movie. You had like Grizzly and Orca and Piranha and all those other movies that came out after Jaws. So obviously Alligator is an alligator that's in like the sewers of Chicago, and it's actually this girl. It's like this family goes to like on a vacation to Florida, and they buy a baby alligator, like a tourist trap, like Gatorland style, like reptile park in Florida, and then they bring the alligator back to Chicago, and then like the father like flushes the alligator down the toilet, but then there's an evil pharmaceutical company in Chicago that is trying to like they're like testing some sort of like growth hormones on dogs, and they're throwing all the dogs that have this like crazy new hormone in them into the sewers. And so this alligator is like eating all these like mutated dogs, and like it's also mutating. So it's like the biggest alligator you've ever seen.
Oh my god!
And then it starts killing people in the sewers. And so then like it's like, oh, we gotta figure out what's going on. We gotta figure out what's going on in the sewers. Why is
they gotta like, stop feeding it like mutated dogs?
Yeah, they gotta figure out like why their like arms and legs like ending up in like the reservoir of Chicago. But Robert Forster is the main cop on the job. So he is fantastic as always. And then he's like, so he's running around trying to like stop this alligator. And Henry Silva shows up as like this like game hunter guy that they bring in to like try to kill the alligator. And then he obviously like as all those like animal experts end up being, like he gets like horribly killed by the alligator. And then there's like a lot of fun like alligator kill sequences. There's like a whole there's like this like kind of like big the big set piece is like there's a wedding that like the head of the pharmaceutical company is like holding for his daughter, and then of course the alligator shows up and like just like kills everyone at this wedding because it's like
wow, like they're like a toilet or something.
Well, because the alligator like bursts out of like the out of the street at one point, and he's kind of just like wandering around Chicago now like killing people. And then he ends up at like the alligator ends up at this wedding and just like starts like murdering people and like also like hitting people with his tail, and like, they go flying like 50 feet away and stuff. So it's just like it's this crazy like super fun ridiculous like this wedding just getting like horribly destroyed by an alligator. But yeah, it's a fun 80s creature feature if you want to like see Robert Forster play this giant alligator. In the sewers, there's a lot of sewer. Like it's a lot of sewers though. It's like as 80% of the movie is just like Robert Forster like in the sewers with a flashlight, just like wandering around. So
does he even have like a gun or anything?
I mean, he's a cop. He has a gun, but like the gun is like super ineffective because it's like a 40-foot alligator. So it's like, but yeah, that's on Shudder, and also Alligator 2 is also on Shudder. So both Alligator movies, because like there was a sequel. That has nothing to do with the first movie. There's no characters or anything that continue to the second movie, but it's just like there's another like giant alligator movie that from like 10 years later they made a sequel. So those are both on Shudder. I think also Grizzly's. They had like most of like the like big like Jaws knockoffs. Like I think Grizzly's also on Shudder. Like
Piranha.
I think maybe Piranha's on there. Yeah, I don't think Orca's on there, but I think Orca might be on like Prime Video or something.
I haven't seen Orca. I feel like I have to see Orca as a fan of, like, the first two Jaws movies.
Yeah.
Wasn't there another one where it's, like, a killer dolphin? Or is that Orca again? Where it's, like, a military pet that, like, goes rogue?
I mean, there was The Simpsons The Day of the Dolphin parody. Like, I don't know if that was an actual episode, though, but... Oh, it is, yeah, yeah. Day of the Dolphin. Yeah, that was
a real movie, right?
A real movie, yeah.
Yeah, see? And I'm like, no, it was a movie.
With George C. Scott. They came out before Jaws.
Because I think that's actually a real thing. Like, they did try to train dolphins to detect, like, mines and shit. And then this was like, what if that one decided to, like, kill?
It kind of seems like the Manchurian Candidate, but with, like, a dolphin. Where it's like, a dolphin gets trained to like these dolphins that are trying to they're trained to like kill people goes rogue and tries to kill the president. Or like these dolphins that get kidnapped and like kind of brainwashed or like it's like you dolphins are gonna we're training you to kill the president. Like,
like, all right, because like they are U.S. dolphins.
Yeah. Yeah, that was definitely like a CIA project, like the Cold War. It was like we were training these dolphins, like yeah, like plant mines and like wear microphones and stuff to like eavesdrop on the Russians. But yeah, the last thing I saw on Shudder is I finally saw House, the 86 movie. They also had like four sequels, but I watched the original one, which you know stars William Catt from Greatest American Hero, and then also has George. It's a weird it's like the all stars of like late 80s, early 90s, like sitcom comedy TV shows, because like it's William Catt, George Wendt, and Richard Mull are all in this movie together. And it's a horror comedy. It's sort of like I think a lot of people compare it to like Evil Dead. Have you ever seen House, Chris?
No.
You've probably seen the poster though. You've seen the poster of like the disembodied hand like ringing the doorbell. It's like a super iconic poster. That's what always have like I've always seen the poster. I'm like I should probably and I've heard about the, people always talk like it's a really big like cult classic kind of 80s horror movie.
I've seen like some like it depends on which version of the poster. I get the original one where it's like the floating skull.
It's like a zombie-ish hand doorbell. Yeah.
But then when you actually see, like, the monsters from House, it's just like, that's the monster?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the monsters are, like, very, like, they're, like, sort of dead, I guess. But, like, they're, like, very, like, big, kind of, like puppets. Like, there's, like a some sort of creature comes out of a closet. And then, like William Catt's, ex-wife, who's, like, this, like, big, like soap opera star. Like, there's, like, a version of her that shows up. And then it turns into, like, this, like, really, this, like, grotesque giant like horrible looking version of herself, and then when it gets to fight and stuff.
I did not know there was like four House movies.
Yeah, which I don't think anyone from any movie, like they're all like separate from each other, I think. But yeah, I think I thought House was okay. Like I feel like it's probably one of those movies where like, if you saw it like the late 80s or like early, like when you were a kid or something, you'd probably have like a lot of like nostalgia for it. I think I may actually prefer like Spookies, because Spookies is just like nonstop just like crazy creatures and stuff. Even though it's like plot wise it's probably like way more terrible than House, but like House, like I didn't find it particularly funny. Like it's like people are like, oh, it's like a horror comedy. It's like Evil Dead, but it's like I didn't really like. There's some funny, like kind of funny bits about it, but it was like, oh man, this is hilarious. This is like evil. This is like Army of Darkness level like hilarity. Like, and it's also weird because like a lot. It's like there's like way more like there's way more like Vietnam War flashbacks than like weird monsters.
You think? Yeah, I mean, you don't get that from the sense of, like, the poster.
Yeah.
From the trailers.
Because basically the whole plot, like, the whole setup is, like, William Catt is, like, an author who, like, wrote a horror, or, like, wrote horror novel or, like, horror novels. But then his new book is going to be, like, about like, how he, like, his, like, experiences in the Vietnam War. And so he's having, like, these, like, nightmares and flashbacks to, like, the Vietnam War. And that's, like, there's way more of, like, the flashback stuff than, like, actually, like, creatures running around, like... And also, like, I thought it was also like way more like creatures in it, like a variety of creatures. There's only three or four different creatures in it that kind of show up. And I also felt like there's just like a lot of downtime. I feel like too, there's like a lot of just like like kind of just stuff where stuff is not really happening. So it's like if I was gonna watch like a movie about a haunted house with like creatures running around, I mean, Spookies is less kind of like nonstop, like even though it's like objectively a way worse movie. Like it's like it probably had like half the budget. It's like two movies like stapled together in a horrific way. But like just like pure like creature design and stuff. Like I think Spookies is to me is like a better movie or like a more fun movie. It's probably blasphemy to like horror fans. I'm like, how dare you say House is terrible?
Yeah, like, not like good. You know what? It just doesn't hold up, I guess.
Yeah, that's the main thing. Like, yeah, it's just like, I think I built it up because I heard so much about it, and then I was just like, eh, like. It's definitely nowhere near close to like the Evil Dead movies, and then like, yeah, I think just like more fun movies that are probably like objectively worse, but like there's more going on.
I mean, I'm looking at House 2, and there is like, I don't understand how there's a connection between House 2 and 3.
I don't think it's the same house. I don't think it's like same. Like, I think it's just like, it's like all the house movies are just like, oh, it's a new house with new characters, and then like this new house is like haunted or like has crazy stuff going on in it. So
yeah, it's always like a house that has some weird shit going on. If anything, it's an anthology show. There's no rhyme and reason why the house does this. It's just, oh, like in House 2, it's a crystal skull that like opens portals. House 3, it's just a house that has a portal.
In the first house, it's like very like there's really like no explanation of like I guess it has kind of like portals to like another kind of like dimension, but no, like
portals to your nightmare.
I guess, yeah, like
because like other shit can come out of it, but
yeah,
it doesn't. Okay, I mean, I just read the Wikipedia real quick. How does he find his son in the house?
So there's also flashbacks like, oh, his. Because it's William Katz's aunt's house, and then he moves there after she dies, because she like kills herself by hanging herself, and then he moves to the house like I'm gonna like move here like write my new book, which also at no point is he like, hey, horrible stuff's happening, I should probably leave. Like, he just like, there's like no, at no point is he like, hey, I'm gonna leave this house. Like, he has like an apartment or a condo and like Los Angeles or something. Like, he just leave. Like, he just leave whatever he wants. He stays there for seemingly no reason. Just to, I'm gonna deal with this to fight this or whatever.
Because of my own stubbornness.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna like just outweigh the house.
Yeah. But yeah, he grew up in the house, and then like, I think when he was like visiting his aunt, or like, they were like living there with his aunt. Like him and his wife and his son vanishes, in the pool, or something. And then, so like that like basically like destroyed the marriage stuff. But then, yeah, but then it turns out, oh, he vanished into like this like nightmare other world, and has aged since he disappeared. So then when William Cat like ends up in like this like other world, or like the nightmare world, that he's like, oh, I found my son.
I mean, I don't know how the pool thing and then this are connected.
There's like different portals, like the closet's a portal to like the nightmare world, like the medicine cabinet mirrors, smashed open the medicine cabinet mirror, and like then you can like rappel down to like the like this dark darkness of like this other world or something. They don't explain anything. It's like hey, weird stuff's happening. This swordfish on the wall came to life, and we're gonna shoot it with a shotgun, like,
because you know, war vest.
And
House 4 comes full circle, where basically it's William Cat again.
Okay.
Now he doesn't mention the kid. He has a new wife and a new daughter.
And he goes back to the same house. He's like, yeah.
So it's like, what, like, it, I guess, like. It really is just, like, the house summons things, at least in his movies. Everything else is just, like, up to whatever.
Yeah.
So his story kind of has, like, arc, but it's confusing. And
I think the thing that also, like, kind of, like, the only thing kind of connects them, all the different movies, is, like, there's always, like, a weird mix of, like, cast members. Because, like, two, like, John Ratzenberger's in 2, so they continue, like, the Cheers, casting for, like, the second one. And then also like Kane Hodder starts showing up, and like he's like involved in like all the other movies. Like he's like the stunt coordinator for 4, and like he's a gorilla in like the second one. And then yeah, like Lance Henriksen is in the star of like the third one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, I don't know how they roped in him in this like long running franchise. Yeah.
Oh, and Sean S. Cunningham, who's obviously behind all the Friday the 13th movies, directed the first one. He's the producer on all these house movies too. So it's like a Sean S. Cunningham production on all of them. And then and also like Henry Manfredi, who like Manfredini, who did all the Friday the 13th music, also does the music for House. So it's a lot of Friday the 13th connections to House as far as like behind the scenes stuff. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like if like it's one of those House is one of those movies, like if you saw it in like probably like HBO or something, like when you were like younger in like the 80s or 90s, you probably have like a lot of like you know, like you like a lot of fun thoughts about it. But like seeing it like clean now, I don't know. It didn't really do it for me. I was just like, this is fine, but like I don't know.
I feel like if you watch in a group, you know,
this doesn't live to the hype I've heard about, like, oh, House is like this like great cult classic 80s like horror comedy movie.
All right, I mean, I barely remember House, so like I can't say. Maybe I gotta try my own and be like, yeah. But it's like that when we talk about Halloween, where like Halloween is a good movie. It's just like it's hard to like watch it if you're not really into it.
Yeah.
And it's like it set up a template that like horror movies follow. Don't get me wrong about that, but it just doesn't hold up in like, I guess like entertainment. Like I watch it mostly for like the history of movie making and like sort of the lore, but it's not like a movie I'm gonna throw on by myself. I'm like, yeah, I just want to watch Halloween. Mm-hmm. Maybe because I'm not like a horror buff like that, like a true horror buff who like would watch it as relaxation, but. Yeah, it just doesn't have, like, the beats I'm used to. Same thing with Friday 13th, the first one. Just, it's slow.
And I've seen that House poster for, like, so many years. I'm just like, oh, man, one day I'm going to watch this movie. Because like, this poster is, so, this is, like, one of those, like, iconic, like, 80s horror movie posters. And it's like...
This is it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that happens. And it's like you're expecting some sort of, like, crazy kind of Creepshow-esque...
Yes, that, yeah.
...horror... Like, that's what the poster kind of said, right? But then you realize it's more like Peter Jackson type horror.
I mean, not even that. Like I mean, this is definitely not like a Dead Alive or something. Like, although the creature are definitely like Meet the Feebles kind of esque, like in their like appearance stuff. So. But yeah, lots of other great stuff on Shudder. So I'm just gonna try to get back and watch some more Shudder stuff. They have like tons. They've added like tons of great stuff in the, like the last month or two or so. But yeah, that's what I'm watching. So we can wrap things up. Definitely head over to the site. We got all of our usual features up there. We've got you can still listen to our Invasion USA commentary from last month. And we got a new one coming up soon, which I think we're still trying to nail down what that's going to be, but that'll be up on the site at the end of the month to check out. You can check out our we have a GameX 2.0 and also like a standalone review of the new Starship Troopers game, along with like a review like a GameX 2.0 featuring like Shredder's Revenge and stuff. So you can check out our thoughts on some recent video games. And all your regular stuff is up on the site as well, so you check all that stuff out. And yeah, so for Chris, I'm Zach, and we will see you next week.
For more Everything Action, head to www.everythingaction.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at EVAction, on Facebook by searching for Everything Action, and follow us on Instagram at everything.action. You can also subscribe and get more episodes on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.